It's Sarah. Welcome to another episode of Life Unleashed. Today is my first ever Q&A, and I'm so excited because I love interacting with real people in real time with real questions. And if you pop on over to my Instagram and you have a question, and I keep getting questions, I would be happy to do a Q&A with you every week. Okay, so the first question comes from Andrea M. How do I properly crate train a puppy? Great question. Simply put, think of your crate as a crib. Put the crate in a quiet room, darken the area with either shades or you can put a blanket over the crate. Play some calming music to block out the everyday sounds that might filter in and wake up your puppy. Next, make the crate cozy. Put in some old clothes so your puppy can nest or dig. Make sure when you put your puppy in the crate, you put some favorite treats in the back. You put in a nice chew, something safe like a Nylabone or split antler. And when you close them in the crate, don't over-dramatize your departures. And finally, establish a sleep schedule that's predictable and consistent, both for you and your puppy. Hop on over to my website, sarahhodgson.com, where you can download a free house training and sleep schedule. You could download an ebook, or even hop on over to my podcast, where I have an in-depth podcast on house training and sleep training. Number two, Jess writes, we're bringing home a new puppy next week and we live in the city. What brand of sling do you recommend for imprinting while the puppy is still young and doesn't have all their vaccines? Great question. I'm a huge fan of slings. I have two kids. They were raised in slings. I like the ones that are open like a papoose. And you want to make sure you're always securing your puppy in there. Most have a leash you can hook on to their collars. I always say one hand on the puppy, even when they're riding calmly. When you get that papoose, if it's super big or certainly big enough, put a little cozy tea towel or blanket so they can snuggle in. Make sure you are aware of your puppy's squirming. If they start to squirm, it might be the best time to give them some time out. You can take them home. You could take them into a safe building, put them down, let them play around in a bathroom. And if they're paper trained, you can even put paper if they need to go. Other things I use to socialize a puppy before they get their inoculations, a canvas pop-out tent that has a nice bottom, or a covered wagon. You can find them online. Now, Debbie Hayward asks, how do I stop my five-month-old Labrador puppy from jumping up on the kitchen worktops and stealing food? Thank you, Sarah. Love your podcast. Thank you, Debbie. So, here's what you have to remember. The countertops, tabletops, couches, and whatnot are not expensive furnishings that you bought at a store to your dog or puppy. They're simply outcroppings. And further, they're outcroppings where you focus a lot of your attention. Monkey see, monkey do applies whether you're a monkey, a dog, or a kid. So when the dogs see you focusing on the countertops, they want to get up there too. The worst thing people do with a puppy is shout, grab, and shove their puppies away. All this does is convey prize envy that whatever is on the counter has value because you're willing to invest a lot of energy in keeping it all to yourself. What I like to do, once I'm aware that my puppy or dog is showing interest at the counter, is to leave them on a light dragging leash. I get a lightweight leash, 6 feet long, cut off the handle, and let them drag the leash without the handle so it doesn't get caught on various things. Now, if my puppy's jumping on the counter, the first thing I'm going to do if I'm close enough is take the object of their focus and push it away. So you want to remember my equation, A leads to B. So if A, they're jumping on the counter, leads to their grabbing the food and getting attention from you, I'll bet negative, they'll do it again. If A, they're jumping on the counter means the food goes further away, they're going to think twice. Now, what I want to be doing at the same time is I want to be setting up a mat and a little basket of toys near their mat and routinely teaching them, on your mat, get your toy, and praising them for that. Regarding discouraging getting on the counters or jumping on the tabletops, watch your dog's eye contact. The minute you want to redirect them is the minute they make eye contact and their nose starts to twitch. Once your dog's jumped up on the counter and is trying to get things, you're kind of late to the game. So in this instant, we would want to teach your puppy, leave it, and say that the minute you catch your puppy starting to think about the countertop. Mind you, I said leave it as a direction, not leave it as a correction. If you yell at your dog again, they're going to think prize envy and they're going to be more drawn to things on the counter than not. Give it a go. Betty asks, can a 2-year-old dog be taught to self-soothe with hyperarousal, overactive nervous system? My dog gets hyped up easily and barks continuously for hours sometimes. Also, he has a hard time with guests coming over and meeting other dogs on the street. The first thing I would ask Betty, if I were in her house, is when does your dog rest? So, the true fact is many hyper-aroused dogs are simply overtired. They're like a cranky toddler with teeth. What you're describing sounds to me almost like a temper tantrum, like a frenetic freakout. I have this leash that I do, I have it on Amazon and I sell to my personal clients. It's called Tether and Train. So with this leash, I can put the dog around my waist or I can keep my dog with me, especially during those high, you know, the excitable transition periods when people are coming over or there are people walking by or there are situations that might get my dog amped up. By keeping them on a leash and using the leash properly, it's equivalent to holding a child's hand. With your dog on a leash, you can put a blanket down near you, not too far away. You can give your dog a bone or a toy, but without that leash, you're simply reacting to their reactivity. You're basically mirroring the hyperarousal they're modeling. Instead, I want you to remember my favorite phrase. You're on the park bench, your dog's on the roller coaster, and use the leash handled properly to direct your dog to a self-soothing activity right at your side. The fun thing about my leashes is they come with a 58-page free ebook, which goes over games and lessons and fun ways to interact and train your dog. So you can check that out on Amazon or on my website, sarahhodgson.com. Okay, now, Jenna writes, my puppy is almost 7 months old. They're an old English sheepdog poodle mix. Cute. He's 44 pounds and we're struggling with him jumping up and nipping. It's hard to control the behavior because his nips can hurt. I know we should ignore bad behavior and reward good. Any exercises that can be practiced to help with this? Oh, yeah. Now, first of all, I want you to remember that your puppy has a lot of budding prey drive. People talk about prey drive and play drive. And simply put, as your dog matures and gets older, they'll be attracted to anything that's moving. And they'll want to pounce on it and grab it and wrestle it down. The best thing to do is to take all the stuffed animals or toys that your puppy loves and put them on a heavy piece of rope or put them on a leash and swing them around and teach your puppy, get your toy, get your toy, get your toy. They have great products that can also be used to redirect this impulsivity. You can find that, again, on my site under recommended products. But whether you buy these predatory play poles or you make them, it doesn't matter. What we want to do is teach your dog to focus their intense, prey-driven energy onto objects instead of you. Remember, you don't want to become their animated little squeak toy. next, I want you to remember the dogs don't always differentiate that what goes on below your hip is attached to what goes on above your hip. So if a puppy grabs your shoelace and you come down and make a fuss, that's a great way for them to guarantee your attention. Remember, when they grab your leg, if you stop and pay attention, even though you're trying to push them away, you're actually reinforcing the behavior. So how do you deal with it when it happens? Because like you said, it hurts. I recommend if you have a gated area, simply leaving. So they're doing the behavior. They're biting your ankles, gets you to leave. They didn't want that in the first place. You can also use a spray away. And repeat after me, I will never spray my dog in the face. I will never spray my dog in the face. I will never spray my dog in the face. When you use a spray away, you get a simple vial. You can put some vinegar water in it. It's kind of a spray deterrent. And you spray whatever your dog is attacking. The other thing you can do, depending on your dog size, is you can climb up onto like the kitchen counter or the kitchen island. This is a game I call Alligator Island. So you climb up on the high countertop, you crisscross applesauce. You can have a treat cup up there or some toys, but you encourage your puppy to stay when they hold still and they're not jumping and they're calm. You can toss a treat or toy in the floor and say, find it. This is a great game if you have young kids, because sometimes the puppies just think of the kids like puppies. When they're getting a little bit too rowdy with the kids, you just teach them to climb up on the countertop, crisscross applesauce, have a little treat cup up there, basically just treats in a cup. They can shake the cup, tell the puppy to stay, and then throw treats on the floor when they're holding still. Good luck. Love to see a picture of that puppy. Snay asks, my puppy continues to sniff and pee in the same areas inside the house. He once peed by accident. How do I stop it? Great question, and you make a very good point. So dogs really do like going to the same area to pee and poop day after day after day after day. It's kind of like teaching your kid to pee in a toilet versus a kitchen sink, right? They're going to use the toilet because it's familiar and that's where they go. So, fun fact, some dogs like to pee in one spot and poop in another. But if your dog is routinely peeing in the house and they're routinely using the same area, what I recommend is you shrink the area down a little bit. So, for example, let's say I gave my dog run of the first floor, and the first floor included kitchen, dining room, and a little living room area. And my dog kept peeing routinely in front of the TV. I wouldn't give my dog or puppy that much freedom right away. I would either keep them with me on a leash in the house. Yes, you can put a leash on a dog in the house and keep them with you. Again, I do this with my tether and train. I have an ebook describing its use, or you can just use a handheld leash. Or I would allow my dog or puppy freedom in an enclosed area. Then what I want you to do is get very set on the routine. So if you're teaching your dog to go to papers, the paper should be like in an area off the main area, like in a bathroom or by the front door. If you're teaching your dog to go outside, simply say outside. Routinely say outside papers. When your puppy is going potty, you want to say another word like get busy. You say it, you know, with a special twang. It should sound more like a bark than an aria. You don't want to be like, outside, outside, outside. That sounds more like, excited play than a direction. Outside, take them to their spot. Get busy, or another word like it, when they potty. Now, here's the big ticket. If your dog spends some time alone, maybe in a crate or a gated room, don't greet them right away when you come back or when you get them from the crate until they pottied. So when a dog is waking up from a nap, they have to go potty. When your dog has been asleep for a long time and they wake up, that's the time they have to potty. So take advantage of those times, either when you're coming in or getting them out of the crate. Say outside, take them to their spot, get busy, and then greet them. Okay, now Adrian asks, here's a new one. How do I get a dog to stop chewing shoes? I offer high-value bones and toys. He just loves shoes. I don't really want to spray my juice with vinegar either. LOL. I added LOL because I'm always like, just spray it with vinegar. This is a great question and a little bonding moment here. I have a five-month-old puppy who loves shoes, loves them. And she's so tiny and she carries around my husband's big, you know, boots and it makes us all laugh. So while, you know, while it's funny the first one or two times you see your dog stealing off with one of your shoes, it gets old super fast. So depending on your dog's age, I have two approaches. First, when they're little, I like to teach them to take anything they find back to their mat. So I have a little dog mat set up. I actually have several dog mats set up in all of the rooms my dogs and I share. Since I have four dogs, I have quite a few mats. So put a mat down for your dog and put all the things they love nearby. Like you can have a little basket or maybe on the corner you can have a bone and some toys. Each time your puppy has an object in their mouth, tell them, on your mat, and praise them, reward them with a treat for bringing their toy or even a tissue or even a shoe back to their mat. You want to teach a young puppy that all good things happen when you're on your mat, and when you bring an object back to your mat, you get rewarded and praised. Now, this said, your puppy, when they're young, may bring a shoe back to their mat. If you get angry at a young puppy, it is going to scare the bejeebies out of them. You're two, three, four times as big as they are. Now you're shouting and, you know, running at them top speed. Please don't do that. They don't know a shoe from a stuffed animal. They don't know a table leg from a stick. So when a young puppy has something they're not supposed to, I like to either shake a little treat cup, again, treats in a cup, you shake it, it's a treat cup, and approach them and teach them give, rewarding the give, and simply taking the object away if it doesn't belong to them. If they're chewing a bone or a toy and I say give, obviously not going to take it away. So we teach the puppy that if you bring it to your mat and it's my thing, I will take it back. If it's your thing, you can keep it. This goes on till about 4 or 5 months, and I call this stage the age of awareness. They begin to differentiate their ideas from your ideas, and you know the stage is coming when you call them and they pause to consider, or when you approach them when they have an object and they run away. So during this stage, you can begin to teach your puppy, leave it. And by the time they're 6 or 7 months, you can begin to establish object identification. So when I say leave it with my shoe, I'm then going to say, go get your toy, go get your toy. So I redirect them back to their stash of goodies. Okay, we're going to give that a go. And we're going to remember that a prevention is worth a pound of cure. So you can also put your shoes in a closet and shut the door. And as I like to say to my kids, you leave it out, you lose it. Here is Anne. My dog is very strong, and every once in a while he lunges for something or another dog while we're walking and has pulled me down or broken away before. How do I stop this? It's making me afraid to walk him. And I agree. If you cannot control your dog, you should avoid walking them. Get somebody in-house to help you or take the little tips I'm about to give you to ensure that you are going to be safe when walking your dogs. Because if you get hurt, the dog's not going to be going for walks for quite a long while. All right. So there are a couple things in the industry we call cruise control. Putting on a front clip harness prevents pulling. A nose harness, there's gentle leader, there are halties, there's some different variations that will guide your dog more like a little pony. It's like putting a halter over their nose. Those are called cruise control because they don't take a lot of coordination or strength to guide your dog. always a good place to start. Not everybody has to be a perfect dog trainer to have a great relationship with their dog. Also, bear in mind that if your dog starts to track something, meaning they're looking at you, they're looking at the road, they're looking around, suddenly they stop and their eyes lock on something in the distance, whether you can see it or not, doesn't matter, but they focus their eyes, they get very still, and they are alert to something, the very next second they're going to pull. So the second you see your dog staring or focused in a certain direction is the time to step 180 degrees in the opposite direction as you call your dog to follow you. Say, I'm taking my dog Wahoo for a walk. He loves walks. He doesn't always love dogs who run along their property line barking their heads off. In fact, that both scares him and puts him into a high state of arousal. So the minute I can sense a dog barking at their property line, what I do is I step 180 degrees in the opposite direction and I create as much distance between the other dogs and Wahoo and myself so that he's less reactive when they start barking. And additionally, I want you to play this super fun game. I call it scurry, scurry. You can say anything. You say hurry, hurry. I just say scurry, scurry. Anyhow, here's how the game goes. In my house or in my backyard, I'm simply going to have a treat, show it to my dog, and I'll say scurry, scurry, and I'll run super fast across the yard or down the road. Now, as soon as I've done my scurry, scurry, fast-paced walk, I give my dog the treat. I go scurry, scurry, inside the house, outside, and pretty soon just that terminology is going to get my dog excited. Now, once my dog is aware of scurry, scurry, when they get triggered by something, instead of holding on for dear life, praying my shoulder doesn't get dislocated, I create space. I move away from the thing that's triggering my dog's arousal, and I say scurry, scurry as I run past it. Here's why. Dogs love to follow motion. So if I'm saying scurry, scurry, and I'm running away from them, and I've already played this game and they love it, they're going to follow me. It's more funner and it takes less energy than fighting some crazy dog running about an invisible fence. So the second thing you want to remember is if you stop in the moment that your dog is getting triggered, demanding they watch you, flailing, you know, the hot dogs around like a Pez dispenser, when they're caught in a situation that's overwhelming to them, they can't focus and they're not going to eat. So remember, with regards to dogs who need to learn better leash manners, creating distance, flipping their reactivity into a fun game, teaching them to run away rather than stand and fight, are all healthy ways to ensure your dog walks well on a leash. Okay, Abraham asks, how can we help our dog overcome her fear while on walks, such as a fear of bikes, cars, or sidewalks? So in my last question, I talked about a dog that gets over-aroused during walks. Now we're talking a dog that gets fearful. Here's a fun fact. Your dog and you share many of the same emotional states, including fear, including frustration, including play. Play is actually an emotional state. Animals can't play unless they feel safe with where they are and who they're with. Then you have curiosity. You know, when something suddenly comes into your awareness, a noise or a sight, and you're activated to figure out what it was. And then seeking behavior, seeking out, you know, whatever they need, water, food, company. So we have those seeking, curiosity, play, fear, and frustration. What you're talking about, Abraham, is that your dog gets fearful anytime you leave their familiar home. I like to think of it as their den. As soon as you step out into an environment that's less predictable, more chaotic, they begin to shut down. It's so great that you notice this and you want to help your dog. What I would recommend before you even go out is teach some basic reconnection tools. I like teaching my dogs to watch. When I say the word watch, I simply draw my finger from their nose to my eyes, say watch. When they make eye contact, I'll throw a bit of food on the floor and praise them. So watch means look at me. And the other word I like to teach for dogs who are a bit fearful is come back. To teach come back, you simply walk your dog. When they're getting more overwhelmed with the environment than they're focusing on you, you just run away from whatever's startling them. So you run away from a loud noise or an object or another dog or skateboard, like you said. So you run away from it and you say, come back. As you run away from it, you can bait your dog with a treat. You can just slap your leg. But as soon as your dog is pulled away from whatever the distraction is, you can ask them to focus, to watch, and you can reward them. What we're teaching is that when you get startled, just run back and find me, and I'll protect you. The reward should be plentiful initially, but then you phase off food rewards in place of praise or toy or play interaction. Okay. Amit writes, Sarah, I'm Amit and currently residing in Bangalore, India, after 32 years in the States. I have a year-old male Shih Tzu. Love the Shih Tzu. He seems to have stopped drinking water on his own. I give him water with curds and coconut water in small quantities just to make sure he stays hydrated. Not sure if this could be a good long-term solution. By the way, he was on hard pet food before, but has been on steamed and boiled vegetables, chicken, egg, and a rice for some months now. Does he get some water from his food? As I add a little broth as well. Do Shih Tzus drink less water? Assume that they need 350 to 400 milliliters of water minimum daily. Please advice. Cheers, Amit. Well, Amit, I'm not a veterinarian. And I want you to ask your veterinarian these questions too. I will tell you from experiences that some dogs don't drink enough water left to their own devices on a daily basis. They have little tablets that you can order that you can put in water that make it more flavorful. For dogs, you can create your own diet, which I strongly recommend. Just make sure you're putting some kind of oil in there proportionate to your dog's size. Some fish oil or some olive oil, just because they do need the fats and oils are a great way to provide it. In terms of how much water your dog needs a day, that's another question for your veterinarian. I wouldn't get hyper concerned so that you're watching your dog every time they go near the water dish, as dogs can pick up on the smallest of cues, and just your over awareness could be intimidating. So kudos on everything you're feeding. Sure, they'll get some water from that. I would encourage you to look up, you know, how to make sure you're giving your dog the best home-cooked meal. Adding things to water to get them to drink it is okay. Again, I would ask your veterinarian if the coconut water and the curds are okay, given the small amounts you are using them for. And God bless you for being so on top of your dog's every need, all their needs and their well-being. Each one of you, I extend that compliment to you as well. Our last question comes from Ivan Bangoff. Excuse me for pronouncing your name improperly if I am. My four-month-old Bernese Mountain Dog is learning how to walk on a leash quite well. But when I take the leash off, he simply ignores me. Sometimes he listens if he really knows I have a treat. What should I do? Don't worry. The reason why I don't want you to worry is you have a four-month-old puppy. They cannot multitask. They cannot multitask until they're well into their adult phases around the age of one. So here's a fun fact. Bet you didn't know that your dog's brain is the size of a small nut. And 80% of their headspace is taken up with this web of sensory neurons. I mean, it's intense. It's so cool to see under a microscope. So when you have a little puppy, you want to remember they're prey animals, so they'll be hyper alert to any shifts in their environment and always listening for signs of danger. They also can't multitask. So when your puppy is like sniffing some flower, God only knows what's on it, but it's just delights, it fills up their senses, they're not going to be able to split off and pay attention to you at the same time yet. I recommend on my website, I have something called a romp and play. It's a 30-foot plastic-like material. It's a long line. It also has an ebook that comes with it. And when you have your puppy off leash, leave them on a 30-foot line, mine or some other one, but leave them on a line so that should you find your puppy distracting them, you can pick up the line and simply run in the other direction, calling them positively. You don't want to get caught into my puppy's not listening. I'm going to call three more times. Then I'm going to go in and get a box of biscuits. Then I'm going to shake the biscuits and call them, because what you've just taught them to do is ignore you unless you're holding a box of biscuits. That is a bad lesson. Young puppies cannot prioritize the sound of your voice because they're too little and they need to experience a little more of life to be able to focus on two things at once. Well, this was a super fun Q&A, and I hope everyone found the questions interesting and the answers helpful. Every week, I will be collecting questions on my Instagram, so hop on over there if you have a question, and I will look forward to seeing it on my feed. See you next week.